All right, we want to praise the Lord tonight on this December the 7th, Wednesday night service. We've been in revival at Bethel Baptist Church Monday and Tuesday night, and boy, that was really good. It was worth it. I needed some of that. Man, when you're dishing out, it's good to soak some up every now and then, and that was some good singing, good preaching, good spirit of the Lord. I think I got rid of whatever kind of devil that was I had trying to take away my voice and make my nose run. I think I shouted that thing out. But boy, that was a good revival. I praise God for that revival. I think the Lord knows what we need. And I wanted to be there tonight, but I didn't want to cancel the service here. I told them I believe even as a little church, the doors need to be open, the lights need to be on. Amen.
That's right.
We want to be sure that we have the doors open and the lights on when it's time to be at church. Amen. We got a lot of sick people still. This Sunday we've got a fellowship planned after the service. This Sunday morning at the lodge up here at Hayes. Going to have some snacks. Going to have some food, dessert. Going to have some things after the service this Sunday.
Well, I think we finished.
Me and Brother Ed, we know one thing. If you want to fill the church up, all you got to do is have a meal. They'll show up, come out of the woodwork. Amen.
Amen. Right.
So we're expecting a large number here this Sunday morning. I'm looking forward to it. We'll have some things for the children this time of year. Of course, I've been young, and now I'm old. Christmas doesn't seem like it appeals to me like it did when I was young. Now I'm just kind of wanting to survive, make it through it, amen?
Yeah, that's right.
But when I was young, I remember not being able to go to sleep, wondering, you know, what might be under the tree. And when I think about under the tree, I also think about on the tree. I'm glad that God sent His Son, gave that unspeakable gift.
Amen.
So we would have something to celebrate. I know the world, they don't want nothing to do with Jesus. They need Him more so than they realize.
Yeah.
But I'm glad this old boy got in line.
Hi, Mary.
Got on board.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, I really enjoy this time of year.
Yeah.
Now, makes it special. We're going to try to sing one song tonight, and it's number 279. We can't sing a lick, but I tell you what, if you'll help us, we'll do our best. It's Away in a Manger, Lucy. You could probably sing that all by yourself. Number 279. In the blue hymnal. Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid down His sweet head. The stars in the sky looked down where He lay, the little Lord Jesus asleep on the hay. The cattle are lowing, the baby awakes, but little Lord Jesus no crying He makes. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, look down from the sky and stay by my cradle till morning is nigh. Be near me, Lord Jesus, I ask Thee to stay close by me forever and love me, I pray. Bless all the dear children in Thy tender care, and take us to heaven to live with Thee there. You know, I'm glad God, He fixed all this. He in His plan, a child was going to be born.
Amen.
That would grow up to be the Lamb of God. Yes. That would take away the sin of the world.
Yes.
That this captive could be set free. That my ransom could be paid. That the one holding me hostage would have to let me go. The Bible said, if the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. Amen.
That's right.
And I am. I'll tell you. Praise God. The guy was preaching last night, talking about the mentality of the world, how people worry about this, worry about that. He said they take Relaxin, they get that MyPillow. Said they still can't rest. He said, not me. He said, I sleep and you drop the hat. He said, I'll drop the hat. And I thought, man, I got something in common with the preacher. Amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Bible said He giveth His beloved sleep. And he said, some people just can't turn it off. He said, me and my wife get in bed. She says, good night, and I'm snoring. Amen. But I do. I sleep with the best of them. I think we finished up Psalms chapter 38. We'll be starting in Psalms chapter 39. This is the Lord speaking, and He's gently rebuking Job. He's rebuking his friends. And how He's doing that is He's making mention of things they know nothing about. God that set everything in order. He's given some wisdom here. He says in verse 1, God speaking to Job, He says, knowest thou not, or knowest thou the time when the wild goats of the rock bring forth, or canest thou mark when the hinds do calf? See, God's in charge of everything.
Yeah.
He said, canest thou number the months that they fulfill? Or knowest thou the time when they bring forth? He said, they bow themselves. They bring forth their young ones. They cast out their sorrows. Their young ones are in good liking. They grow up with corn. They go forth and return not unto them. God here is just really talking over the head of Job, talking over the head of his three friends. He goes on to say, who have sent out the wild ass? No, who have sent out the wild ass free? Or who have loosed the bands of the wild ass? He said, whose house I have made the wilderness. No, that donkey knows where it's supposed to be. God,
yeah, that's right.
God said He made His house in the wilderness.
Yeah.
And the barren land His dwellings. He scorneth the multitude of the city, neither regardeth He the crying of the driver. The range of the mountains is His pasture, and He searcheth after every green thing. Now this mention about the unicorn here, says, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Let me see what this says here. I don't think there's a description of this unicorn. But I thought on my own that it could be something along the lines of a rhinoceros. Heck, I don't know. It's pretty ferocious, whatever it is. Numbers 23:22. Let's see what it says.
My kids used to say it was a one-eyed, one-horned, flying.
I remember that too, yeah.
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 23:22. What does it say, sir?
It just talks about the strength of a unicorn. And Numbers 23:22. But this unicorn, it's hard to understand what he's talking about. I mean, says, will the unicorn be willing to serve thee or abide by thy crib? Canest thou bind the unicorn with his band and the furrow? Or will he harrow the valleys after thee, talking about plowing?
Yeah.
Will thou trust him because his strength is great That's one reason I thought it might be talking about a rhinoceros, because they are strong.
Yeah.
Will thou leave thy labor to him? Will thou believe him that he will bring home thy seed and gather it into thy barn? You know, God asking questions here that really can't be answered. But God made everything for its purpose. The cow for the plowing and for gathering up the crop. He said, "Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacock." You know, peacock is a beautiful bird. Hey, Brother Patrick. And when the peacock, when it spreads out its tail feathers there, wings and feathers to the ostrich. You know, ostrich doesn't have a lot of feathers. Mm-mm. They can't fly, but they run like the wind.
Right.
And which leaveth her eggs in the earth and warmeth them in dust and forgetteth that the foot may crush them or that the wild beast may break them. And remember, he's describing here an ostrich. She is hardened against her young ones as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear, because God hath deprived her of wisdom, neither hath he imparted to her understanding. Talking about an ostrich. What time she lifteth up herself on high, she scorneth the horse and his rider. Hast thou given the horse strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? You know, when you think about a horse, it's got like a mane on its neck.
Mm-hmm.
God here says, hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper? The glory of his nostrils is terrible. God's describing a horse here like I've never heard a horse described. He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. He goeth on to meet the armed men. He mocketh at fear and is not affrighted, neither turneth he back from the sword. The quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage, neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha. He smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. And you know, God's describing a horse here. And in the day of Job, horses were used in the battle.
Yeah.
And they were fierce in the battle. They could not only run you over, but they could, real quickly overtake you. And he says, verse 26, doeth the hawk fly by wisdom and stretch her wings toward the south? Doeth the eagle mount up at thy command, make her nest on high? She dwelleth and abideth on the rock, upon the crag of the rock. You know, the eagle likes high places.
Mm-hmm.
And the strong place. From thence she seeketh the prey, and her eyes behold afar off. I forgot how far an eagle can see, but it's something like a mile.
Yeah.
They got real keen eyesight. Says her eyes behold afar off. Her young ones also suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Let me see if I can find that reference here. Jesus made a reference about where the carcass is, there will the eagles be. And I think it's a reference to the Battle of Armageddon.
Mm-hmm.
But her young ones suck up blood, and where the slain are, there is she. Verse 40, moreover the Lord answered.
Wait a minute, Brother Eddie.
Yeah.
I think we should pray before we go any farther.
Thank you, Brother Ed.
Yeah.
Thank you. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. I want to pray not only for your blessing upon the service tonight, Lord, upon the revival over there at Bethel tonight. Lord, we want to pray tonight for Sister Brenda Goff, Lord. Lord, she's not feeling well. We want to pray for Sister Joanne. Lord, we want to pray for Joe and for Rita and for Eric. We want to pray, Lord, for James and Patty. Lord, we want to pray for Mark. We want to pray for Kay. We want to pray, Lord, Father, for Sister Bonnie. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Bonnie's son, Billy. Lord, for her nephew, Kevin. For her niece, Denise. Lord, we pray for them. We pray, dear Father, Lord, for Jerry and Carolyn. Pray for Danny and Tammy. Pray, Lord, Father, for Thomas. Lord, we pray for Landon. Pray for Abby. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Patrick and Sarah and little Lucy being here tonight. Bless them. Bless Brother Ed. Lord, we pray, Lord, Father, for Miranda and Mark. Lord, for Caden and Tavian. Pray, dear Father, Lord, for Brother Mitchell. Sister Phyllis, Lord, she's having trouble. Lord, staying awake, blacking out. We pray for Phyllis. Pray for Brother Mitchell, his health in decline. Pray for his sister, Bessie, Lord. We pray for Sister Sharon. Pray for Sister Sybil. Lord, Sister Sharon still recovering, Lord, from that flu. We pray for her, Lord. And Father, we pray, Lord, for James and Star and James Jr., for Jordan and Casey, who missed them. Pray for Brother Ronnie Lindsay. Lord, we pray, dear Father, Lord, for a request, Lord. Sister Tammy, I believe, gave it last Sunday for Rod. Lord, he had surgery and he's got infection in it. We pray for him. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for the Lord, the many requests, Lord. We had a lot of people. We pray for Ashley tonight. And Lord, we pray for Carter. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for his brother, Keaton, and his sister, Lord. Pray for her, Lord. We thank you for Ashley, Lord. Thank you for sending her this way. Lord, bless, I pray, this little church. Help us, God, in the effort, Lord, that we put forth. We want to be a blessing. Lord, we need you to help us to be able to do that. And we thank you for all you've already done, and thank you for what you're going to do. I ask you to bless, Lord, the service this Sunday morning. May we have some good fellowship. May the people be in health, be able to enjoy the time of fellowship. We pray for that. And Lord, we just pray for Lord, Benny and Sue. We pray for them. I pray, dear Father, Lord, for Lord, all Lord that's Lord, come here, Lord. We can't even name or remember them all, but Lord, we pray for them, love them. We pray for them, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're in Job 40. Moreover, the Lord answered Job. And understand now, the Lord is putting Job in his place. And you know, when God speaks to you, even though the Lord is belittling Job, he's doing it in love.
Yes, that's right.
And the Lord answered Job and said, "Shall he that contendeth with the Almighty instruct him? He that reproveth God, let him answer it." Then Job answered the Lord and said, "Behold, I am vile. What shall I answer thee? I will lay my hand upon my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yea, twice, but I will proceed no further." Then answered the Lord unto Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Gird up thy loins now like a man." You know, God wants men to be men. And I think every man needs to be a man. I know we've got gender confusion today. And I'm against it. I think our little girls need to be girls. Our little boys need to be boys. And I think they need to grow up, be young men and young women.
Right.
Jumanji Jackson, Martha Blackburn asked her to describe a woman, and she said, "I can't." And she's the Supreme Court nominee. Can't even describe a woman. The Lord said, "Gird up thy loins now like a man. I will demand of thee and declare thou unto me. Will thou also disannul my judgment? Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" My son, he likes this right here. "Hast thou an arm like God?" When my son was young, he was into that He-Man.
Yeah.
He'd come in there, "By the power of grace, go have a plastic sword." And I read this verse to him. He liked that. "Hast thou an arm like God? Canst thou thunder with a voice like him. You know, when God does speak, boy, he's talking about people hitting the dirt. I mean, he thundered out of heaven. And it got a lot of attention. They said it was an angel. Some said it thundered. Said, deck thyself now with majesty and excellency, and array thyself with glory and beauty. Cast abroad the rage of thy wrath, and behold everyone that is proud, and abase him. Look on everyone that is proud, and bring him low, and tread down the wicked in their place. You know, we could use some of that today.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of wickedness. You know, America used to be a law-abiding society,
mm-hmm.
and now we're a lawless society. And I'm almost positive it started about 2 years ago. Just seemed like somebody opened up the floodgate.
Yeah.
God here says, tread down the wicked in their place, hide them in the dust together, and bind their faces in secret. Then will I also confess unto thee that thine own right hand can save thee. Behold, now, again, the Lord speaking over Job's head and over my head here both. He says, behold now the bema which I made with thee.
Mm-hmm.
He eateth grass as an ox. Now the first thing I think of when I hear this description, I think of an elephant.
Okay.
Says, lo, now his strength is in his loins, and his force is in the navel of his belly. Now, Lord here says he moveth his tail like a cedar. And I'm thinking about the trunk of an elephant. Now, listen, this ain't etched in stone. I've read this, and it's over my head.
Yeah.
The sinews of his stones are wrapped together. His bones are as strong pieces of brass. His bones are like bars of iron. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Surely the mountains bring him forth food where all the beasts of the field play. He lieth under the shady trees in the covert of the reed and fens. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. The willows of the brook compass him about. Behold, he drinketh up a river and hasteth not. He trusteth that he can draw up Jordan into his mouth. He taketh it with his eyes. His nose pierceth through snares. Now, that may not be an elephant, but that was the closest thing I could think of in modern day. But what a behemoth this. Let's see. It's got here. Yeah, it says elephant here. Some think it's a description of an elephant. Now this is a different beast right here, chapter 41. Canst thou draw out Leviathan with a hook, or his tongue with a cord which thou lettest down? Canst thou put a hook into his nose, or bore his jaw through with a thorn? Will he make many supplications unto thee? Will he speak soft words unto thee? See, God's describing something here. Now, I thought this might be a crocodile. I don't know. We're going to read and make the best of it here. It says, will he make a covenant with thee, or will thou take him for a servant forever? Will thou play with him as with a bird, or will thou bind him for thy maidens? Shall the companions make a banquet of him? Shall they part him among the merchants? Canst thou fill his skin with barbed irons? That's another reason I thought it might be a crocodile, because of the kind of like the armor they have, the skin. I don't know. We're going to, like I said, this is over my head
here.
You
know, when we get on over into the book of Revelation, though, it explains every one of these animals that you're reading about right now. Did you know that?
Not all of them.
Well, most of them it does.
It talks about the beast.
Yeah.
And the dragon.
Right.
It says, canst thou fillest his skin with barbed irons, or his head with fish spears? Lay thy hand upon him. Remember the battle. Do no more. You know, I wouldn't want to lay my hand on a crocodile.
No.
Behold, the hope of him is in vain. Shall not one be cast down even at the sight of him? None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Who then is able to stand before me? Now God made a statement there that he's greater than this Leviathan. He said, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. Mm-hmm. I will not conceal his parts, nor his power, nor his comely portion. Who can discover the face of his garment? Or who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can open the doors of his faith? His teeth are terrible round about. That's another reason I thought it might have been a crocodile, because of the teeth they have. His scales are his pride, shut up together as with a close seal. Mm-hmm. One is so near to another that no air can come between them. They are joined one to another. They stick together that they cannot be sundered. By his nescience a light doth shine, and his eyes are like the eyelids of the morning. My dad, he went down to Florida fishing, and at night time, you can see the eyes.
Oh, yeah.
Of the alligators. They just about light up at night time, yeah. You know, with any kind of light at all. It says, out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Now, that kind of fooled me. I've yet to see a crocodile a leap with fire in his mouth. Out of his nostrils go a smoke, out of a seethen pot or a cauldron. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. That's why I said it kind of leaves it right there for me.
Yeah.
In his neck remaineth strength, and sorrow is turned into joy before him. The flakes of his flesh are joined together. They are firm in themselves, they cannot be moved. His heart is firm as a stone, yea, as hard as a piece of the nether millstone. When he raiseth up himself, there's another reason that this is probably something other than a crocodile. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. The sword of him that layeth at him cannot hold the spear, the dart, nor the haberdine. Let's see here what that is there. Breastplate. He esteemeth iron as straw, and brass as rotten wood. The arrow cannot make him flee. Sling stones are turned with him into stubble. Darts are counted as stubble. He laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Sharp stones are under him. He spreadeth sharp pointed things upon the mire. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. Mm. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there's not his like, who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Like I said, that's quite a description.
Yeah.
Whatever that is, I don't want to meet it. Let me say that. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no fault can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore have I uttered that I understood not things too wonderful for me, which I knew not? Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. Now Job here, he's making quite a case here to God.
Yeah, yeah,
he said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee.
Yeah, that's right.
Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. It was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Telemite, my wrath is kindled against thee and against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right as my servant Job hath. Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, in that which you have not spoken of me, the thing which is right, like my servant Job. Yeah. So Eliphaz the Telemite, Bildad the Shulamite, and Zophar the Naamanite went and did according as the Lord commanded them, and the Lord accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. And the Lord also, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before.
Hey.
All this ordeal that Job's been through, and the Lord here has accepted. Job said, I repent in dust and ashes. He said, I abhor myself.
Yeah.
God accepted that, verse 6. Then the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And now his friends, his family, then came there unto him all of his brethren, all his sisters, all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house. Boy, you know that comforted him. Here he's been out there with a piece of broken pottery.
Yeah.
He's been suffering. He's been ridiculed. He's been scraping himself. All he wants is somebody to take pity.
Yeah.
And here he is now. He's sitting down and eating bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep and 6,000 camels and 1,000 yoke of oxen and 1,000 she asses, and he had also 7 sons and 3 daughters.
That's what it started out with, wasn't it?
That's right.
Yeah.
And he called the name of the first Gemini, and the name of the second Kizai, and the name of the third Karen Kapuk. In all the land there were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations.
Wow.
So Job died being old and full of days. Now Job, like I said, those things that God described, they're out of the reach of man.
Yeah.
And all I could do was speculate on them. It could have been dinosaurs. I've heard several people talking about it could have been a dinosaur. I don't know. I just know one thing. It was something that God could describe to let Job know that he was God that made all things. And he knew everything about what he made. And as he's described him, asking these questions, he knew Job couldn't answer them, but he asked them anyway, and it kind of put Job where he needed to be. It humbled him, caused him to realize, you know, how great God was and how little he was. I remember somebody talking about Theodore Roosevelt. Sarah said he would get guests there at the White House, and they'd go out there in the garden out there at the White House and sit in chairs and look up at the sky. Mm. And as they looked up at the sky, Theodore Roosevelt said, well, I guess we're little enough now we can go in and go to bed and sleep. But you know, as you look up at the sky, it causes you to realize just how little you are.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what God did to Job. He helped him understand that he wasn't nothing. Mm-hmm. And God can't be everything until you are nothing. And if God's everything, then you ain't got no problem whatsoever. But Job, I remember somebody saying Job may have had a little bit of a problem with pride, maybe. Maybe had a little problem with, you know, Job loved the Lord, but maybe he had a little problem with humility. God put him in his place and put his friends in their place. Mm-hmm. Anybody got any questions about the book of Job? I don't want to go through what Job went through.
Mm-mm.
But I'll tell you what he went through, he didn't go through without the Lord. The Lord was there with him through the whole thing. That's how he made it through it.
Right.
And whatever we got to go through, the Lord will help us make it through it. Jesus said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. He said, Lord, I'm with you all the way to the end of the world. He said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. He said, let not your heart be troubled.
Amen.
God is there for us just like he was there for Job.
Yes.
We might get in the predicament Job's in and think, boy, we got it bad. But when God shows up, however bad we got it, he'll make it better. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Anybody got any questions? We finished up the book of Job. We'll start Acts next Wednesday night. We'll be in the book of Acts. We're going to go through it. I love teaching. But I like teaching a whole lot better when people ask questions. That way I can, I can try to help you. You know, it may not even be pertaining to the book of Job. If you got any questions, I can maybe answer them for you. And if nobody's got no questions, well.
Sir, I mean, ask. Do you have any questions?
No. Look like she's looking something up there, I have to admit. But, you know, the Lord, I'm glad he is the Lord. And I'm glad that he's gracious, merciful, kind.
Yeah, that's right.
Long-suffering, gentle. Boy, one to have in your corner.
Yeah. That's right, boy.
Like I said, it's not been that long that America was a law-abiding society.
It was.
And now we're a lawless society and getting worse by the minute. Some of the decisions being made right now.
I think it's all started back there, down here in St. Louis, didn't it?
Yeah.
Right then.
I'm going to tell you, all these things have repercussions.
Yes, they do.
A ripple goes out, but it comes back.
Yeah.
I seen where one of the border agents lost his life chasing after some illegal immigrants trying to escape. It's terrible. All right.
Did you come over the hill this way?
Come on, sit down. I think that was wrecked in there.